This show rocks.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is coming from a true fan of really the only superstars in Portland. Ladies and gentlemen, a big round of applause. Share with them the warm sounds of your hands. Scream and shout, yell and jump up and down for the one, the only, Dead Moon!
Welcome to the show, Rocks. This show totally rocks. It is Friday night. It's Radioactive International. I am here with a slew of people Actually, I'll say who it is, and then we'll talk about what we're doing. So next to me, I have Willie Spilly.
Hey.
I have Natalia Krept.
Hello.
And what would you like to be referred to as?
Cameron.
We have Cameron and we have Mel in the background, and we have the two dogs going mental on a couple mad looking yokes. So you might hear a bit of chewing in the background. But I think, Cameron, you said you had. Actually, Willie.
Yeah.
Will you say what that was?
That was Dead Moon. Live at. Was it Satyricon?
No, it's the X-Ray.
The X-Ray Cafe in Portland, Oregon. I believe it was a closing party. But this is actually, I think, one of the. Last Dead Moon LPs to come out.
Was it?
Yeah, I think there was another live one from Satyricon came out after this, but yeah. What a Way to See the Old Girl Go is the name of it. It's on Voodoo Donuts.
Yeah, Voodoo Donuts, which is owned by the same guy that owned the X-Ray, which was 1994.
Yeah, it's actually one of the better sounding albums.
So Cameron actually wants to introduce the whole show and the idea. Yeah?
Do you think?
Yeah, go on, you got it written down.
I do it with all of us, we can all do it.
Oh, well, there's plenty of time, the show might go long.
I tried to find the first song that Fred Cole, we're doing a Dead Moon special. The four of us are very big Dead Moon fans, and recently Frederick Lee Cole, otherwise known as Fred Cole, passed away. He was 69 years old. He was born August 29th, 1948 in Tacoma, Washington, United States.
That's a skip. So
he was a post-war baby. And his first band was The Lords. They had a song called Ain't Got No Self-Respect in 1964. Tried to find it, couldn't find it at all. But they used to play at the Teen Beat Club, which was the first club in the United States to cater to teenagers, apparently. It was in Las Vegas. And that was in 64, so Fred would have been 16 then, if he was born in 48. But the next single he released was on a Flexi disc. It was called Poverty Shack under the name Deep Soul Cole. That was from 1965. Willie's going to cue that one up now.
Yeah, whenever you're ready.
Let's do it.
All right.
Come on, the fuck.
All right.
Voodoo Donuts had a donut called the Cock and Balls Donut.
People.
Who's Voodoo Donuts?
It's a donut shop in Portland.
Yeah. There's one in Portland. There's one in Eugene where I went to university as well. But they're just mad. They tried to take this kind of the whole punk rock aesthetic and turn it into donuts. It's just all mad donuts. The Cock and Balls has like frosting testicles and the.
It sounds very Vans Warped Tour or something like this.
No, it's not because Ben's got pedigree. Like that last album, that was Ben. X-Ray Cafe was the place for like. Proper art punk, and like it was all ages. There's loads of bands. There's this band called Big Daddy Meat Straw, and they dressed up as clowns, and it was all just mad songs about living in the suburbs. They were mental.
And would you say they were juggalos?
They were. The juggalos would love to be them. They look like the juggalos. Now that you mention it, they look exactly like juggalos. But this was 1994 in Portland. There was no the juggalos thing was years off. But do you have that song queued up now? Let's go, let's do it.
I knew a man just a short time ago who had no place to stay or go to build a shack out of old cardboard. Apple grade boxes he used to build to go.
What was that?
That was The Rats playing a great, great song called Teenagers. One of my favorite songs ever.
All right. So, Natalie, I don't think we have your song queued up. So, will you tell us what it's going to be?
So, I'm going to be playing Hot Pistol by King B. And, Cameron, you were just telling me a very fascinating story there about King B.
Yeah, King B, it was the first time that Fred was playing guitar and singing as well. And they played with the Ramones in 1978. And it was when they broke up that the Rats were formed, the band that was just on. And he taught Tootie the bass to play in the Rats as well.
Yeah, she actually, that wasn't that the story. Like, she saw him at the gig and was just like, yeah, this guy's the shit.
Yeah, look at him.
And look at him now. They were married. It was 50 years.
On him. Jeez, the head on him.
That's
true.
50 years, that's good going.
Yeah.
And what, like you were saying there when we were talking, what is the fascination with Dead Moon?
I don't know. They're just cult status. They're very DIY. They're just the living effigy of rock and roll, DIY rock and roll. They just...
Yes, everyone wants to move to the middle of nowhere and get a mono lathe and then put out your own records for like 40 years.
They just show that you don't have to get old and give up doing what you love. They just fucking persevered with it and just kept on rocking to the grave.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, two of them have done pretty much just that so far.
I tried to look up bands that Andrew Loomis was in.
He was never anything else.
Yeah.
No.
No luck.
What are they called? Oh, yeah, the Boy Wonders. They've got two songs. I think we'll hear one.
We'll play the Boy Wonders after King B.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, King B into the Boy Wonders.
But it's it's a live video. It's not like an album or anything.
Yes.
She said never heard. I never heard that.
What?
You learn something new every day. So do you have that queued up and ready to go?
Ready to go, boss.
All right, let's hit it. King B, yeah.
It's your time. We're gunning for you, guys. We'll be right back.
I think it's time for the Boy Wonders. Let's give them a hand.
Go, Sarah, Sarah. A 1, 2, 3, fuck. Oh, Sarah, Sarah. You're living in the alley with the bad boys. If your daddy knew what I was doing to you, he'd have a stroke. Sarah, Sarah, it's a 1, 2 Scooby-Doo position. You're only 12 miles away. Oh, Sarah, 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 Sarah. Sarah, Sarah, you're beating all the boys to the rock show. Come on, girl, sit back and stay a while. Sarah, Sarah, it's a 1, 2 Scooby-Doo position. You're only 12 miles away. Sarah, Sarah, ooh. Sarah, Sarah.
I think it's time for the Boy Wonders. Let's give them a
obscure
hand.
Boy Wonders, which is only the only real thing I could find by Dead Moon's drummer, Mr. Loomis. R.I.P. One of the better rockers out there, definitely. But that was a band from his from the, I'm guessing the 80s.
What did he die from?
Cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was young as well. Like he would have been the one that I knew more than the other two because he used to drink at the same bar that I met my wife in. Yeah. So you'd be around there, and there's like no one who knew who it is. Like I didn't know who any of them were. I was talking to Steve Hanford, the Slayer hippie, for ages. I said, got to talk about drums. Oh, do you play drums? Yeah, I play drums. What band? Fucking Poison Idea. Oh yeah, heard of them. But Loomis was always around there, and it was great crack.
What bar was it?
The Rialto.
Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon. So that was all you're going to say about Loomis, is it?
That's all I was allowed to say until I got kicked off the mic. You see, we're only sharing two microphones here between four people. So, but yeah, no, Loomis is great, and that band is. I'm sure no one regrets that band, with such lines as "Sarah, Sarah, if your daddy only knew what I was doing to you," and something along the lines of "You're only 12 miles away." Cool stuff like that. Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, you'll be invited back, Willie. Don't worry about that.
That wasn't him, now. He, you know, that was the singer. He was playing the drums.
Yeah. His only other band besides Dead Moon.
And he must have been about 12.
I think he's in a band called Shiny Things.
Oh, yeah.
But there's no things. Existence of him on the internet that I can find.
Yeah.
Your knowledge is fairly deep.
So one, Andrew used to always have a Jack Daniels bottle on his drum, and he'd have a candle in it. It was like candle wax dripping down the bottle, and he'd always have a candle in it that he would light when they played live, and the set would go as long as the it took for the candle to burn down. So we have a candle here burning down. That's how long we're going to keep playing and talking about Dead Moon.
It's burning slow but sure.
Slow but sure. So I'm going to play a song by Dead Moon next. This is a song they played the first time I saw them play, which was in New Orleans, Louisiana. They played. I found the poster the other day. They played with the Burning Brides. I don't know if anybody.
Really?
That's the only time. Yeah. They played at the Matador, and that's the first time you ever saw them too.
It is, yeah.
Mitchell Powers told me about Dead Moon. That's how I found out about Dead Moon. A big, tall man from Alabama. Is Mitchell from Alabama?
Or Tennessee, maybe.
Oh, Tennessee.
But yeah. I saw Dead Moon. I was at work delivering food, and I saw Dead Moon walking up the street. And I actually didn't really know what they looked like at that time, but I was like, whoa, there's rockers in town. You don't see rockers in New Orleans very often, but they just look like rockers. Like the real. Oh, except you saw Billy Gibbons, though, as well.
Oh, I did see. That was Christmas Eve. Same year. New Orleans. Yeah, yeah. We were like, what do we do on Christmas Eve? Well, go to the bar when there's no one else there.
It's Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
It was
that's
a Christmas
right.
present from the rock gods.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's Billy Gibbons. But anyway, back to Dead Moon.
Back to Dead Moon.
Was Billy Gibbons a sharp-dressed man?
He looked like he could have been in The Locust. He was like skinny jeans, denim jacket kind of lad.
And like, does he always wear the guitar on the belt?
He had a guitar strapped to his back. He was just walking, no case. When's the first time? No, sure, we'll play Dead Moon, and then we'll chat more about when everybody else.
We have a whole candle to burn. I think these candles burn for about 2 hours. So, like,
so this is Fire in the Western World. Smoking in my
right, that was The Weeds, one of Fred Coe's bands from Las Vegas from about 1966, so maybe he's about 17 there. That song was called It's Your Time.
Your math is beyond reproach, man.
Oh, man. you're a school teacher as well. They were promised their opening slot with the Yardbirds in San Francisco, and they went down there. And they got to the venue, and the venue hadn't heard of them, and they were kind of pissed off, and they were of draft age, and they didn't want to, obviously, they didn't want to go to war or anything. So they headed up to Canada, and they ran out of gas when they got to Portland, and they started playing in a club called The Folk Singer. And that's where Kathleen Tootie Connor worked. So that's where Fred and Tootie met for the first time. And they got married the next year, 1967. But the Weeds manager said that they should keep it a secret. I don't know, maybe thought it was bad for business. Maybe, I don't know.
The ladies wouldn't come to the concerts then?
Well, Tootie would, I'm sure, do you know? But Fred used to manage another band called The Seeds. And the Weeds eventually had to change their name because it was too similar, like The Weeds, The Seeds, whatever, but they had a song called Pushing Too Hard, and that's a fucking banger, and I think you should play that next.
Thank you.
But that was Pierced Arrows, like technically Fred and Tootie's last band before they put Dead Moon back together again for like a tour.
They toured New Zealand together, like as a just acoustic.
The duo thing.
Yeah,
I think they did. Yeah, but I mean, it's crazy because that Pierced Arrows, like, even though they kind of sound a bit like Dead Moon, they're much heavier, I think, than Dead Moon.
I always thought it was just the band where they just give out to each other through the band.
Like in their songs.
Yeah, it's like we've reached that age. That's how we deal with our shit, is just giving Maybe out to so. Each other through Pierced Arrows.
But isn't it's like to go from like Deep Soul Cold to Pierced Arrows, you know, in just only a matter of a lifetime. It's pretty cool. He's always on the pulse with the old cool sounds. But yeah, so like I only have that one album. It's the only thing I know by Pierced Arrows, but I really like it. But it's just real kind of like nastier Dead Moon or something.
All right, that actually
it's not a nastier Dead Moon, no.
That actually segs in nicely if I could only find it. I'm also going to play a bit of Pierced Arrows. I'm going to play this record that I bought actually for you, Willie. I bought the 7-inch. I was in America, and we were talking about Dead Moon one time, and I went to America like a few weeks later, and I saw Pierced Arrows 7-inch. I was like, I should buy that for Willie. I should. And then I've mentioned it to you a few times, and I was going to give it to you. So I'm going to give it to you now. If I can, once I find it, it's yours. I'm good. I bought it for you originally about 8 years ago.
That's so sweet.
This is a great radio show.
So this is it. I hope you like it. This is Paranoia.
I'm not the kind to waste my time. Go running round the country for a man to see he's behind mine. I got my heart on the track on this lonesome railroad line. One more stop that I know I'm gonna leave behind.
Cameron, you were just telling me something fascinating about the Range Rats.
Andy Loomis tried out, but they said he wasn't good enough, and they just got a drum machine. So that's their like country drum machine band. I can see Hank 3 doing a duet with them or something.
Yeah.
Do you know?
But he did end up. Yeah, he didn't get into that band.
It's borderline Confederate flag material.
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't get in. In fairness to Loomis, he didn't get in that band. But then their next wasn't it their next band then.
Dead
Moon, and he got into Dead Moon. I'd rather be in them than
That was the year after when they said, like, right, we want to do rock and roll again. We get Andy on for the rock and roll.
I like how you call him Andy.
Yeah, right.
Because he's always Andrew, but that's cool if you have like a special thing with Andrew.
What do you want me to call him? Ando.
Who is the biggest Dead Moon super fan in the room? I think it might come to fisticuffs.
Oh, man. 54-40 a fight.
Oh, every night. Yeah, no, it's like, you, how many Dead Moon t-shirts do you own?
Well,
I've owned two.
Where are they now, though?
Boom.
Where are they now? Cameron's got his on.
I think you just have generic ones. Like, you probably have a knockoff one. This one is legit. It's from when they played a gig. In the Crystal Ballroom, actually, a New Year's gig.
Oh!
This is rare as fuck.
They got his in Urban Outfitters.
Oh, like the one that I got when the first time I saw them play. Oh, and then I got that other one the second time I saw them play. That's right!
On the telly, probably.
Off the telly. Call 1-800-DEM-MOON. They probably, I could see them having like a, you know, selling stuff on telly. They've got their... you know, they've got they're very entrepreneurial. Like entrepreneurial
cable access telly, maybe.
Exactly, something like that, where you've got one of those ads and it's like buy a Dead Moon quadruple album set or something. 1-800, because they've got the
they'll be on the Grand Ole Opry.
They've got the you know, Frontier Town, where they have all their shops and everything. They've got the guitar shop there outside of Portland. Where's that? Clackamas.
Yeah.
What's up next?
Well, I was going to play an interview piece, actually.
Cool.
Cameron could relate to this. It's off New Zealand television.
Oh, yeah. This would be, is it from when they went there in 1992?
92, yeah.
That was the first tour they did when they turned down a huge tour with Nirvana to go to New Zealand, actually. That was the first time they went there. They went there a good few times after that. They went there in 2003. And my friend Dan and my friend Lisa, that's when they met. They have a kid now, so they have a Dead Moon baby who's now maybe 13 or 14 now, Oscar. So Dan, Oscar, Lisa, hope you're listening, mate. Hope the final is going well. So yeah, Kurt, play a tune, Willie.
Most Kiwis probably haven't heard of them, but cult rockers Dead Moon have already shown their loyalty to this country. They turned down the chance to bill with Nirvana back in the States to keep their commitment to tour here.
we've confirmed a booking and somebody calls up and says that we have something bigger to play, we don't cancel the small one to play the big one. We play the small one and tell the big one that we can't do it.
Yeah.
We've always done that.
They've been professional musos since the 60s.
It's the best rush in the world to be able to get up in front of people and play live. Always has been, and until that thrill goes away, it's just something that you love, it's a passion.
While no one's giving away ages, Fred and Tootie do admit with some pride that they're grandparents.
We have a granddaughter who just turned a year in June. And first one, picture, ta-da, which you can't
imagine
see.
Okay. Whoa! We just had our 25th wedding anniversary in June 14th.
Yeah.
So we've been married since 1967, and this was our best man.
Yes.
And he even remembered to give me the ring and everything.
Yeah.
They may be older than your average punk rockers, but they don't like getting stuck in a rut. Their musical future is, like our weather, changeable.
There's going to come a time when either the audiences aren't there for us or we're sick of it, one of the two. And I figure at that time we'll know that we'll call it quits.
Yeah, we'll probably still be playing maybe a different form of music.
We might go into country and western or something like that, I don't know. Or maybe some really avant-garde jazz. We'll get Roddy over there to play guitar for us.
So yeah, that was Dead Moon with Ricochet. Again, off One of the later albums. It's not that late, but you know, Trash and Burn, great album, underrated classic.
Great stuff. Next up, we have it's a 7-inch by Tootie from about 1985. Just a solo release by her from 1985. Coming On Strong is the first song, and the next one, Rather Be Your Lover.
If I gotta be one or the other, I'd rather be your lover. Oh, there's times I feel so beat, with other women I must compete. No, honey, I've never felt secure. And I guess that's why it works, and why it always hurts. What I know, or don't know, I'm not sure. But just give me a chance for some of that romance. It's what's always been the remedy for me. 'Cause I'm your wife, I'm your lover, like a sister or a mother. But honey, if I've gotta be one or the other, I'd rather be your lover. So for me and me alone, never feel you're stuck at home. Only be there 'cause you want to be. I won't always understand that I'm a woman, you're a man, and that difference is always clear to me. So just give me a chance for some of that romance. It's what's always been the remedy for me. I'm your wife, I'm your lover, like a sister or a mother. But honey, if I gotta be one or the other, I'd rather be your lover. You know I'd rather be your lover. Come on home, been missing you all day. How about a nice candlelight dinner? A little romance tonight? Yeah, I'd rather be your lover.
What are we talking about?
Tootie Cole. That was a song, Rather Be Your Lover. Fucking great song. Off a two-sided 7-inch, she did that song and Coming On Strong, the song that was on before that. Great songs. Great solo stuff from Tootie. Yeah. Fucking amazing. I met Tootie once. I only, despite the fact that Dead Moon came to New Zealand a few times, I never saw them. They played in really small towns, and when I was a teenager, maybe 15, they came to my town, and I would have been going to gigs at that bar where they played. In the industrial estate, they used to make their own beer. You could fucking be as loud as you want, as late as you want. They used to let us in since I was like 13. And we were like kind of spiky punk looking. And there was this huge moldy bouncer that was on the door. And he would always let us in. And he'd always be like, oh, do you know these gigs, man? It's for you guys, you know? Yeah, fucking, you know? And he'd refuse other people, but he'd always let us in. He was such a legend. I actually saw him. There was a gang dude came on with his, like a biker dude, backpatch, you know, came into the pub once. I think they have a no patches policy. And we saw that bouncer just put this dude's head straight through a window one day, oh, just being like, fuck off. I told you to fuck off. Don't wear that shit in here. Just head straight through the fucking glass.
And did you see Dead Moon there?
I didn't. And I'm fucking really pissed off. I saw a lot of gigs there, and I wouldn't even known them at the time, and now I'm fucking kicking myself.
Yeah. Yeah, you're always kicking yourself. Any gig you miss, you're kicking yourself, son.
But I saw Dead Moon when it was supposed to be the last Dead Moon gig, which was bollocks because they played in Finland after that, and maybe in the States a little bit. You saw them in Finland, didn't you, Willie, Natalia?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. But I
can confirm they both said yes.
I went to see them in Madrid. I was meeting two friends from New Zealand there. They'd be big Dead Moon fans as well. And we met Fred and Tootie outside. And we told Tootie that we'd come all the way from New Zealand just to see Dead Moon. And that maybe that was a half-truth, but she seemed pretty stoked about it. Gave us the shout-outs on stage.
Fair play.
And I remember she had these lovely red shoes on, and I said, Tootie, your shoes are amazing. And she said, thanks. And then she went into the distance.
Were they those red cowboy boots?
No, they weren't cowboy boots. They were more like kind of, not high heels, but like they had a heel on them. Maybe slightly open toe.
You guys are such super fans. You're talking about shoes.
I saw her. She had red cowboy boots on in Finland. Yeah, they were cool. She had a red cowboy shirt as well with like white tassels.
Borderline Confederate flag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the Wild West. Yeah, well, I guess, are we super fans?
I think, though, Dead Moon has a lot of super fans.
Yeah, they're, I think we're a few there of many.
Yeah, but yeah. Your knowledge of the intricacies of all this is...
this gig was like this international pilgrimage of aging rock couples. They'd come from every corner, man, really.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember being in Holland and people being, oh, you're from Portland, and would you know Dead Moon? Yeah. Ooh, you know, like it was, if you go to most European countries and say you know Dead Moon in any way, it's like a secret handshake almost.
Like, say if you went to a skinhead gig, and say if you went to watch Coxborough or something, and it'd just be an ocean of bald heads. This was just like an ocean of cowboy heads.
Yeah, we saw them play in Amsterdam, and it was mostly just couples in leather coats, leather jackets, arm in arm, having the most emotional night of their life. Like, it's insane, like, the love people have for that band.
And, like, everyone's wearing Dead Moon t-shirts. Like, I've never been to any other gig where so many people... Well, it's a cool... All their stuff is so cool. I have so many Dead Moon posters, t-shirts. Yeah, I have a Tombstone Records patch. I haven't put it on anything yet.
Waiting for the jacket, yeah?
Coat status.
All right, so what are we playing next? We should play some tunes.
You should play the Range Rats, Willie. That's really good. Keep on the country buzz.
We are a professional outfit.
The name is The Two of Us.